After months of production delays, dissension on the set, and budget trouble, James Cameron's Titanic arrived at movie theaters today. It's the most expensive film ever, costing $200 million. Titanic stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. John Powers has a review.
Everybody knows the story of the Titanic, the famously opulent ocean liner that sank on its maiden voyage, killing 1,500 of the 2,200 people on board. This glamorous disaster is the backdrop of James Cameron's much-publicized romantic epic named after the ill-starred ship. The year is 1912, and Rose DeWitt Bucater, played by Kate Winslet, is an upper-crust teenager traveling on the Titanic along with her mother and Cal Hockley, the rich, thuggish Philistine she's being forced to marry. On the verge of suicide, Rose encounters Jack Dawson, who's played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Jack's a penniless young passenger in steerage who has all the love of freedom that's missing from her snooty, money-mad social circle. The two are just beginning their love affair when, bam, the Titanic hits that iceberg. The movie was both scripted and directed by Cameron, who's best known for the Terminator movies and True Lies. His ambition has always reached beyond gargantuan explosions, and here he risks a full-fledged love story. It is a risk, because to put it bluntly, Cameron's far better at blowing things up than he is at writing good dialogue. His screenplay is filled with howlers, kitsch, and silent movie broadness. Rose's villainous fiancé, who's stridently played by Billy Zane, would twirl his mustache if he had one. Despite all this, the movie pulls us in. As Rose, Kate Winslet starts out rather stiff and unalluring, but she gets more spirited and radiant as the story progresses. For Titanic is about Rose's transformation from a passive girl to a daring, taboo-busting woman. She's forever changed by the free-spirited Jack, who's imbued with Leonardo DiCaprio's peculiar charisma. Although he's got a manly man's ability to protect a woman, he has the face of a beautiful, sensitive boy. You can just imagine the high school girls in the audience swooning when Jack gets invited to dinner with the first-class passengers and explains how he lives his life.
And where exactly do you live, Mr. Dawson?
Well, right now my address is the RMS Titanic. After that, I'm on God's good humor.
And how is it you have means to travel?
I work my way from place to place, you know, tramp steamers and such. But I won my ticket on Titanic here at a lucky hand at poker. A very lucky hand.
All life is a game of luck.
A real man makes his own luck, Archie. Right, Dawson?
And you find that sort of rootless existence appealing, do you?
Well, yes, ma'am, I do. I mean, got everything I need right here with me. Got air in my lungs and a few blank sheets of paper. I mean, I love waking up in the morning not knowing what's gonna happen or who I'm gonna meet, where I'm gonna wind up. Just the other night, I was sleeping under a bridge, and now here I am, on the grandest ship in the world, having champagne with you fine people.
Cameron has never been an ideas man, and the movie gives only cursory glances at some of Titanic's potentially rich themes, such as the modern worship of technology. But Cameron does make a big point about social class, using the ship as a metaphor for a whole society. Up in first class, it's all champagne and evening dress. On the lower decks, it's beer, bunks, and rowdiness. Meanwhile, in the boiler rooms, sweating men are slaves to enormous Dante-esque furnaces. These class distinctions hold fast, even in the face of death. As waters flood the ship, most passengers are kept caged on the lower decks, while the rich saunter around an elegant ballroom. There aren't enough lifeboats for everyone, so first-class women and children are boarded first. The others are left to die in the freezing Atlantic. The systematic cruelty of this is so blatant that Titanic often seems like the first Hollywood blockbuster to have been scripted by Karl Marx. Still, nobody's going to see this movie for a social history lesson. Titanic rises and falls on one thing, whether audiences feel what it was like to be on that fateful voyage. And it's here that Cameron succeeds triumphantly. We feel the ocean liner's legendary size and grandeur, its sumptuous staterooms, its string quintets, and labyrinthine lower decks teeming with immigrants of all nations and hues. And once it hits the iceberg, amazing digital effects capture the overwhelming scale of this disaster. The onrushing water, the bodies sliding down decks and being thrown overboard, the ship plunging into the sea like a drowning skyscraper, the corpses bobbing in icy waters. The movie lasts a bit over 3 hours, 20 minutes longer than it took the actual ship to sink, And most viewers will spend the last hour rapt at the sheer spectacle. This is the most expensive film ever made, and it's one measure of Cameron's success that you won't waste your time asking how he spent the $200 million. Big, corny, and exhaustingly spectacular, Titanic is the kind of grand entertainment that only Hollywood can make, but all too often does not.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.